And welcome to From the Studio, our presentation of music and words with composers sometimes and musicians more often than not here in the Inland Northwest, especially as they prepare for performances. And we have a very special guest in our studio this morning, the pianist Yunhua Ro, who is going to be performing with the Gonzaga Symphony Orchestra this evening. They are doing a program at the Myrtle Woolson Performing Arts Center that starts at 7:30. And it features a long prologue. There are three overtures or preludes that are part of the program. Rossini's overture to the Sirius opera Semiramide. Also, Franz von Suppe's Poet and Peasant Overture, one of his most popular, and music of Richard Wagner, the prelude to Die Meistersinger. But Yunhua Ro is here to talk about, among other things, the piece that she's involved with on the program, the little ditty called the Second Piano Concerto of Sergei Rachmaninoff. Good morning, Yunhua, and welcome.
Good morning.
It's so delightful to have you back again.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll talk about your place in the piano world and your growing up in that world. Let's listen to a little bit of music here, though. You brought some selections, and this first one is you playing some music of Joseph Haydn. We're kind of chock full of Haydn around these parts because of the Spokane Symphony's production of The Creation over the weekend, which we really look forward to bringing you on Concert of the Week next Monday night. But that's other things. But tell us a little bit about this piece. I think this is a good way to get ourselves started.
Sure. So this Haydn sonata is somewhat rare, I would say, because it's one of the few minor sonatas that you can hear. It has three distinct movements. Unlike our normal Haydn pieces that are full of wit and fun motifs, this one's a little bit more serious, a little bit more, I would say, a little bit heavily German influenced rather than the English version.
All right, very good. And that'd be good for us because I think we've been a little bit frivolous for the first hour of music here. So let's get down to this here. Very fine playing by Yunhua Ro. Music of Haydn.
Thank you.
Music by Joseph Haydn, played by our guest in the studio today, Yunhua Ro. Yunhua, in town for the Gonzaga Symphony Orchestra concert tonight. She'll be playing the Rachmaninoff Second Concerto with them. So let's get back into, you just had a chance to say hello before that piece. Take me back to your early days with piano. This was something that was important for your family, for you to get started with, or how did that all get underway?
Yes. Nobody in my family actually plays any music, unfortunately. But my mother was the one who got me into this. And she was a busy working mom. She's a retired OBGYN nurse. And because she didn't want me to spend all day doing that thing, that was the reason why she took me to piano lessons. And this started, 3 years old, basically? So I did not know anything. I remember my first couple of times I was just plucking keys, mm-hmm. whichever, with thumb and with everything, with paws, all that. So, yeah, my first year was just for fun and for playing. I remember the teacher there, if I lose a tooth, she would give a little fake toy ring, and I would just wait for that moment. And that really, that was the reason why I kept going, basically. She was pretty tough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. My first teacher. Actually, all my teachers were very tough. But
it brought you to where you are today. So
yes, no. For sure. And she made sure that I read music correctly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if not, there were some, I mean, at that time it was kind of normal. There were some rulers involved. So I knew how to read music by the year two. It was perfectly well done. And my mother, who I guess had this idea of musicians that she always admired, mm-hmm. she couldn't do music, although her interest was definitely there. But so she made me keep going, and she wanted me to become music related something. It wasn't that she wanted or she thought that I would become a concert pianist, but she always thought, it'll be nice if I open a studio or mm-hmm. something, mm-hmm. teach music in the future and all that. It'll be a great life. That's what she thought. So that's how I started.
But things went in a different direction for you. At what point, or was there a point at which you decided that the world of the piano was the world you were going to inhabit for your career?
Yes. So this might be a little bit longer story. my mom, she would never admit this, but after she got me into this, she's a tiger mom. And I have several stories, but just to share one, there was one time I was barely 7 in first grade in the elementary school. It was time for me to go to the community music school at that time. So I went to the piano lessons, and the school store was locked. They were doing a lunch hour or something. So I must have gotten there earlier than what I was expected, when I was expected. And so the door was locked, and I waited on the stairs maybe 10 minutes or so. But as a 7-year-old, it felt
That's forever for a 7-year-old.
Yes. So here I was. Oh, no one's coming. I'm left alone here. So I started walking back home, crying, thinking, oh, my mom just dumped me there. Things like that. And the walking distance, you're not going to believe this, but it's about 4 or 5 stops of the bus stops. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it took me, 2 hours to walk back. Imagine this little kid just walking, mom dumped me, and walking back 4 or 5 stops of the bus. Mm. And here I went. I mean, I was good at directions by then for some reason. And when I got to the house, my mom was actually on the window crying. She thought she lost me or something. So finally we met. Oh, you walk back. You're great. That was awesome. And the next thing she did was just give me 1 cup of orange juice. Took me right back to the music school for piano lessons. And there I was, what? I'm going back? After that 2 hours of crying? But then that was how my mom was. And I kept going, but
unfortunately, because of that, I did not really like to play piano. I didn't want to major in this. And I always thought the hours that I had to put in and the way that my mom was so vigorous to make sure that I practice like 4 hours a day at age 7, literally. It was just like, I hate this. One time I locked my piano and then threw the key away and I got busted like crazy. And that was the moment when my mother actually said, okay, fine, don't do it. And guess what? I got so scared. And I thought, oh no, uh-oh. I don't want to be given up. So that's when I will do the piano. And that's when it got a little bit more serious.
I think that's what you call reverse psychology.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, great. If you can go back to around that time, is there a piece that you learned that was kind of a breakthrough for you in that, okay, now I'm in the world of real piano music?
I guess there are two, but they are the same composers. So it was a Chopin, and this was my middle school. And the first piece, I guess, that I really felt joy on playing was Chopin's Polonaise Brillante.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time where I felt like, oh, I can actually dance. In some of the variations, like I could actually dance, I could actually sing, I could actually be this. And it felt like I'm more of a actress rather than a pianist. And this was the first time that I actually felt, oh, very musical, happy to do this. And then the second piece I thought technically was challenging was Chopin Etude Opus 10 number 1. And that's when I actually, nobody asked me to, but I remember spending 5 hours on that 4 measures. That was just not getting to me. And I was getting so upset with it. Like, why? I've done this practice. I've done that practice. Why is this is not happening? And I remember spending just in that practice room 5 hours just doing that 4 measures. And then my father was, I was practicing at home, and I remember my father just coming very quietly, close the door, outside door, and then he had this headphones on. Literally, after like 5 hours, he was like, oh, cannot listen to any more piano anymore.
But ultimately, you did conquer it.
Yes.
Now, you did your undergraduate work in Korea?
Yes, at Yonsei University.
All right. And were there teachers there who were especially formative for you?
Yes. I mean, I had wonderful teachers in my life, many, many. But the teacher that I met from my undergrad, she graduated actually from the same school that I graduated now, but started teaching me from my sophomore year for 3 years, and she was right out of her doctorate. And so you can kind of imagine her passion and just trying to give me that knowledge of what she learned from her doctorate years. Like, I've learned so much from her, and she was strict too, but yeah, just that knowledge. Like, she was the one who actually taught me how to do an analytical approach to the music, and not just feeling, but the basis behind it, why I can analyze, or I can phrase it in such a way, basically.
And is that helpful in terms of the pieces like the Rachmaninoff that you'll be doing with Gonzaga Orchestra tonight, in terms of memorization? Do you memorize according to structure first?
I definitely try to see specific chords, especially when there's a difficult part to memorize. Yeah, I mean, memorization has been always my thing. It's so difficult. But for specific moments, like the end of second movement, where where the progression just repeats over and over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when those analyses come in really handy. And then I, of course, want to see the overall structure too. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, because it's usually those certain spots where it's difficult to memorize, those spots, I think, harmonic analysis or phrase structure analysis really helps.
All right. Shall we listen to a little bit of Scriabin? I mean a little bit of Scriabin yes. here, which we have two preludes of his to kind of get us over into the Russian aspect of things.
Yes.
You have a preference to listen first?
Oh, I don't mind.
Okay. All right. Well, this is his prelude number one from his Opus 11, again played by our guest in the studio today, Yunhua Ro. What a lovely little piece, that prelude by Alexander Scriabin, played by our guest in the studio today, Yunhua Ro, a recorded performance. And Yunhua is going to be the soloist with the Gonzaga Symphony Orchestra tonight at 7:30 at the Myrtle Wolfson Performing Arts Center. She playing the second piano concerto of Sergei Rachmaninoff. What was your first encounter with Rachmaninoff? Do you recall that?
I learned it after I graduated high school.
Second concerto.
The second concerto, yeah. Right. Oh, and my first performance was just the first movement, actually. But with a small ad hoc orchestra in a music festival, basically. But I remember the tempo changes were very difficult to get it together with the conductor. And I remember the first time the conductor was like, "Are we counting?" That was his first comment about it. And I remember working on it over and over just to have those tempo changes really organic. But yeah, it has been always my first to go concerto.
And to pick up your narrative now, you came to this country for graduate study at the New England Conservatory. Are there classes or are there teachers who are sort of key to your development in that advanced stage?
So in 2005, I came to NEC for my master's, and that's when I met my teacher, Victor Rosenbaum, amazing teacher. His Schubert, Brahms. Are just so touching. I've learned so much from him. But then the most important thing that I learned from him was that music needs to be sang. And it's just like language, basically. He would put words to music, like whenever in his lessons. Like he would make up this lyrics or words to the piece. And then like, every time different. And I always wondered, like, how do you get those ideas from, basically? And he's the one who really taught me, okay, everything needs to be sung. Every note has meaning. Every note has to be cared for so that it can be sung. And just like a language, it's like words, basically.
Well, the Rachmaninoff, it certainly does sing. It is one of the most, to me at least, it's one of the most vocal of his larger compositions. And he had just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way with melody. Let's see. We need to cover how you came west.
West.
Because
I know.
You are now teaching. And how long have you been at WSU?
This is my year six.
All right, very good.
At WSU.
And you have a piano studio there?
Yes, yes.
And also teach coursework?
Yes, I do teach one course with oral skills, but everything else, applied piano, collaborative piano,
Excellent. And I should make a little footnote here that regular listeners know that we do, with some regularity, have students in to play on air. And we'll have a little bit of that going on tomorrow because the students from Eastern Washington University will be here with Jody Graves and playing various combinations of keyboard and keyboard with strings. And it's a delightful live piano bench tomorrow at 11 o'clock. There we go. I made the commercial. But was there a specific reason for you to come west, or is that just a position that occurred at the right time?
Half and half.
Okay. All right, yes, fair enough.
So after starting my studies in Boston, the next stop I went was Peabody, which was Baltimore, so slightly there. Mm-hmm. And then I got my doctorate from Indiana, which was way more Midwest now.
Right.
Yes.
Now, who did you study with at IU?
IU, I studied with Arnaldo Cohen.
Ah, very good.
Yes, which I have a huge respect for. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much from him, mm-hmm. too. Yeah.
Was there a particular period or style that was a real strength of his in terms of teaching?
For sure. So he learned from student of Liszt, basically. And definitely that school comes mm-hmm. through. But funnily enough, actually, this Rachmaninoff Second Piano Concerto is the first piece that I took lessons from him.
Okay.
Yes, I remember spending hours and hours on that 9 chord. Just,
well, but yes. It's an important one. Absolutely.
Just can't get past that first several pages, yes.
Right.
It took me, 2 months almost to finally get over and get to the next section. So, yes, Mr. Cohen's amazing teacher, and he was very, very, very strict, and he has amazing ears that just does not get passed through. Mm-hmm. And you need to get it right until the next part can be done.
Well, it obviously has stood you in good stead.
Yes.
How are you as a teacher now in terms of some of these values?
Yes. So what I want to do with my students, mostly my top priority will be actually developing their ears.
Mm-hmm.
I think making them as their own teachers will be the most important thing, especially because they're going to get out of school and they will most likely teach. So I want them to really be able to listen and know what they want to listen for so that they can do the same for their students. But careful listening is more important than anything else, even more so than like being able to know how to analyze or being able to know how the structure goes. You still need to really be able to tell with an objective ear, like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can go from there. Like, okay, what needs to be fixed? What needs to be done better? Or what can be less or more? It all comes from your listening.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not trained with listening, it's hard to change anything. And so I want to be, I want to make them as their own teachers when they're learning a piece, they're performing a piece, or they're teaching, basically. Yes.
Do you have them sing?
Oh, yes, for sure.
All right.
Yes, but a lot of them are quite shy, and I understand that. So I don't force them, but sometimes I make them write words to what they do. And at least when they're practicing, like I always have to tell them, you gotta sing.
Because the piano, of course, is a very elaborate music-making machine that just in its own structure, there's nothing that sings especially about it, that it's the responsibility of the player to do that.
If anything, it's more percussive mechanism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yes, I have to make them imagine string instruments as if we have vibratos.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I mean, I bring up this opera more than anything, and that's when I think it comes through most well when they are thinking of singing with the piano sound. And again, that's when the listening comes really, really handy, especially with legato phrases. Like I always have to tell them, especially after, so when there's like two note slurs, when there's a long note in the opening, you gotta really, really listen for how it decays in order to match that second note. Mm-hmm. And that makes a real legato. So that's what we work on a lot.
Very good. Yunhua Ro, it has been an absolute delight to have you with us this morning. And again, you are going to be performing with the Gonzaga Symphony Orchestra this evening at the Myrtle Wilson Performing Arts Center. The often mentioned in this, the as it's written in the copy that I got here, Passionate and Virtuosic Second Piano Concerto by Sergei Rachmaninoff. Well, Yunhua, again, thank you so much, and it's just been an absolute delight.
Thank you so much.
And we are going to go out with Yunhua playing this, again, a recording of music of an American composer and a very long-lived American composer who left the scene not all that long ago. His name, Ned Roram. And this is a toccata of his. Anything that you'd like to point listeners to in this piece before we play it?
I want you to imagine jumping jelly beans.
Fair enough. Here we go. Yunhua Ro, music of Ned Roram. Yunhua Ro playing music of American composer Ned Roram. To conclude this edition of From the Studio on Spokane Public Radio.